Welcome to Shattering Myths, the program that's devoted to those of you who have come to realize, or at least open to the realization, that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they're all counterproductive, that you ought not rely on any of them. I am Yada. Our phone number, if you would like to participate anytime over the next 2 hours, toll-free, 877-300-7645. Last week, virtually every major news agency reported, albeit poorly, on an Australian jihadist that was a model that went to play jihadist in Syria with the Islamic State and engaged in a suicide mission and was killed. And it just absolutely fried the little neurons of the politicians and of the parents and of this individual's associates, because they couldn't figure it out. How was it possible that a guy could become self-radicalized? I mean, the Prime Minister of Australia said that he was brainwashed, and yet there is no account of any kind of anyone reaching out to him and trying to convince him of anything. They were incapable of the realization of the influence of Islam, that he simply read the Quran and Hadith, and what Muslims write about the Quran and Hadith, which is exactly what we say about it, except they accept it as true as opposed to perverted. And he acted upon what he read. And they're just totally and completely incapable of processing that. And just, it was interesting to read these stories. So I'm going to start here a little bit in this story, and then we've got Glenn on the line, and we'll invite him to comment on this or whatever it is that Glenn wants to speak of this morning. But CNN is reporting a teenage Australian jihadist is suspected of carrying out an Islamic State suicide attack, developed a hatred for the West over Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, America's invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan were counterproductive in every possible way. And when you deploy your military and you squander what may be as much as $4 trillion and a million lives, you know, it's not only American lives that count. It's not just the 6,000 Americans who died there. It's not just the 250,000 Americans who have taken their lives in suicide since they returned. It's also the lives that were lost as a consequence of our invasion. Over a million. Squandering $4 trillion. And in every possible way, we made a bad situation worse. And what we did motivated folks like Jake Velarde to become Islamic suicide bombers. So his hatred for the West was over the West invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, he's not rational enough to recognize that Muslims killing Muslims are responsible for the vast majority of those deaths. Now, I still attribute them to the United States because of the fact that we broke the existing government. The existing government kept Shiites and Sunnis from annihilating each other. We went in and broke that, and we unleashed hell. And now you have a civil war where thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, are being killed, enslaved, raped, burned alive in their homes. And so the Muslim wants to blame the West for killing Muslims when, in fact, what America did is it destabilized those regions, allowed the religions in those regions to take control, and then the two opposing sects of Islam went to war with each other, which was the absolute foreseeable consequence of our invasion. He said that he, this reads, before setting on a radical Islam as a vehicle for a violent global revolution, according to his blog. Good God, would somebody please wake up? Glenn, my friend. Is there such a thing as radical Islam?
As what?
As radical Islam.
It's all pretty much the same if you read the book.
Yeah. There's just one Islam. Is there a radical Muhammad and a peaceful Muhammad?
No.
Is there a radical Quran and a peaceful Quran?
The one you don't read, you know, that people don't know about. So the one people kind of, it's just like the Bible. People pay, as long as they lip service, the leaders love it when the people pay lip service and don't read it. You know, the wishy-washy leaders, Christianity. Because then you're not reading the book, they're just doing whatever you tell them.
The fact of the matter is that, well, the Christian New Testament is probably 80% rubbish. There is nothing in the Christian New Testament that would cause anybody to go off and perpetrate terrorist attacks on anyone under any circumstance. And there is nothing in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms that would encourage anyone to do that either, because the only violent acts that are encouraged were for a handful of villages back 3,400 years ago in this little swath of land that were corrupt to the point that they might as well have been infected with the bubonic plague. So there is no ongoing, you can read every detail, there's no ongoing open-ended encouragements to do anything that would be harmful to another, and yet in the Quran that's the mantra.
Well, it's not only this stuff is foreseeable, but I think it's also planned. I got a spiel.
Okay.
I'm normally fairly stoic and occasionally even somewhat snarky about the inevitability of wicked people precipitating, you know, evil events in our world.
Right.
But for right now, and this has been an increasing, like, building within me, such a, I find myself very upset. Intuitively, palpably, tangibly upset about the fact that the wicked have placed in the fire such a diverse array of irons that are almost guaranteed to create, here in America and worldwide, the spring and summer warm weather season from hell. They're we've got this stuff going on with the police and shootings, they've been tricked into precipitating a backlash, which will create riots and vigilantism, which will be characterized as terrorism. The domestic front, they've got JTOM 15 going on.
And by the way, that's a death spiral right there, because you are
this
correct.
The
police are way out of whack. They're dishonest and they're out of control, and the people are going to respond to them, and those who respond are likely to be violent, as they were in Ferguson, and that's going to cause the authorities, the police, and the judicial system to take more control, to be more weaponized, to be more in our face, and it is and the more they do that, the more people are going to push back, and that is a death spiral. That's a death spiral that's irresolvable. But you're right. It's only one of them. What's your second one? Because we're in complete agreement there.
Well, yeah, this is going to be this summer from hell. The police have been duped into thinking they can get away with this without consequence, when actually they're being used as pawns in a game to foment a backlash.
Yeah, it is stunning to me, Glenn, that police, who the people pay, have the right to rob you of your freedom and rob you of your dignity. They can order you, even if you have done nothing wrong, to give up your freedom, to stop whatever you're doing and surrender to them. And they can order you to lay down prostrate on the dirt beneath them as they hold a gun to your head, as they step on your back, as they handcuff you. And even if you've done nothing wrong, if you don't comply with their robbery of your freedom, of their threats to your life, of their treatment that robs you of your dignity, then they have the right to shoot you.
Well, and this is the type of stuff that will precipitate the backlash. I do not condone, I'm not, don't condone violence in this, but this will inevitably result in vigilantism, which will be characterized as terrorism.
Correct.
You got Tony Blair advocating totalitarianism now because democracy has failed. We've got the.
By the way, democracy has failed. There's no question that democracy has failed, and it's failed because of liberals like Tony Blair, who try to win votes by making people more and more dependent on government and giving them more and more, and you bankrupt the system in a democracy when people win votes by taking from the few who are productive and giving it to the many who are dependent. And so it's Tony Blair's and his liberal academic ideology that has dumbed people down so they can't even think. If you can't think, you ought not vote. That have caused the problem. But you're right. Democracy is a completely failed institution today.
Well, the Founding Fathers hated it. That's why, precursor. It is always a precursor to totalitarianism.
Correct.
It always is. We've got their foreign policy. We're killing people halfway around, starving them. We've got two naval squadrons.
Now, on our military, it's far worse than us killing people. I mean, it's a million people who have died, either Americans taking their own life in suicide, or the 750,000 or more that have died in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan as a result of our invasions. It's not just that number of souls that have died. It's that we're providing the weapons for the Sunnis and the Shias, and they're using those weapons to kill one another. We are the catalyst for mass murder now.
Right. And
we're the enabler.
Financially, the IMF is going to show no mercy to Greece, which will inevitably default on next month's payment, and that we're going to see the markets, crashing. This is going to be the summer from hell.
Yeah, the Greece thing is interesting as to how long they will try to prolong the dance to maintain the illusion of solvency, not just for Greece but for Europe. And so they're in a position where they need to use the fiat nature of the currency. They need to devalue the hard work and the savings of honorable people to prop up those who are unwilling to work, who want entitlements in Greece. And if they don't prop that up, then the illusion that they have that they're solvent disappears.
Right. Look at this morning. The Greek and French, German and French markets are down.
Yes. Oh, I know that this
market, which is on the pound sterling, is
you and I have talked about this a year ago. We said that Greece would be the bell cow for economic collapse worldwide, and that the United States is actually in worse shape than Greece. We'll return with Glenn in a moment. Shattering this, we're having a conversation with very focused and very passionate Glenn, a Glenn that we don't typically see. I actually like this Glenn. What you're doing here is systematically going through the issues that are going to cause a collapse of the world as we know it. And we're not Chicken Little here saying the sky is falling. The first three issues you've raised are all irresolvable. There is no way to resolve the problem of the militancy and the dishonesty of police and the people's reaction to them and what's going to spiral out of that.
And it seems that this is all, as I said, these items all seem to have been systematically placed in the fire with a timing for this summer.
Right. There is no way to resolve the America's militancy, that we not only have the largest military in the world, larger than the rest of the world combined, and that we are using it, and that our last two invasions have been unmitigated disasters, as well as have our bombings of Yemen and of Libya, that we have made we've turned the world into world war, and it's all our fault. And we don't seem to understand the death toll of that we have unleashed, the consequence of that. So you're right, that's another irresolvable problem, and it is being exacerbated with each day. And we're actually fighting it now on a new front with the Ukraine. And then third, you're right, the Greek collapse is if it is postponed with illusions, like America did with quantitative easing to create the illusion that America was still solvent, all it does is make the collapse greater, pushes it down the road a few years, but it makes the inevitable collapse far more catastrophic.
Well, if CFAS continues to raid government departments, if he starts dipping into pensions and, and trying to do bail-ins like they did in Cyprus, he'll only discredit himself and make it far worse and just delay it.
Right.
You know, better than take the tack like Iceland took and then just start to, you know, repudiating debt, expose what Papandreou and the bankers did in terms of incurring odious debt, and then you know, just tell them to go pound sand and imprison a few bankers like Iceland.
Yeah, yeah. The fact of the matter is that I'm welching on debt, completely dishonoring debt, is how the new world order will be brought in. That people will be told, just as they were during this financial crisis, that you really don't have to pay your mortgage and your bank can't foreclose. And you know, there was all sorts of rules on limitations, and banks were fined for foreclosing because people weren't paying their loans. There's going to be debt forgiveness as part of the entree to the New World Order. And people are going to sign up because their debt is being forgiven, and they're going to think that's a great thing. And it's going to be a horrendous thing.
Sort of a pseudo-Schmita.
Yeah, what it says to people is that your word, truth, commitment, honor, morality, no longer matter. Your debt is being resolved by the government. The government is giving you this great gift, and people won't understand the consequence of that. And the consequence will be that the New World Order will be based on a economic system that is totally the tool, the implement of those empowered to completely control those who will willingly sign up for it.
Well, sure. I mean, to some degree, you know, money has always been a Ponzi scheme, you know. But, I mean, there's two sides to that story. When people have had their earning, you know, are hardworking and have had their earning potential taken from them or their jobs, or, you know, and I personally, I'm not a fan of fractional reserve banking as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm like, you know, fiat currency is not a great idea.
Right.
You know, certainly.
Both are bad ideas.
Compound interest is unethical, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know,
adjustable rate mortgages are a disaster. Unmitigated disaster.
It's one bad idea layered upon another.
Correct.
You know, whether
Correct.
It's a fiat currency fractional reserve, you know,
right.
the compound interest, the derivatives,
right.
all of this. It's, and when these credit default swaps, you know, come do, you know, if right. when the Grexit hits, then American banks can't.
There's another subtle aspect of this is that generally accepted accounting practices whereby all businesses that are public and all businesses that borrow money have to use accrual-based accounting. And they are forced to use accrual-based accounting because of the U.S. government. The U.S. government wants to create the illusion of profitability for the purpose of taxation, where you capitalize expenses and you amortize expenses over long periods of time, that it creates the illusion of profitability, even when a company is actually bankrupt. So, and they do it because the government wants more tax revenue. But accrual-based accounting is another, just one of these shadows that is going to envelop us. And, you know, it's all going to collapse when people have to actually value properly their assets. My friend, I would add a couple of other irons in the fire. Islam is at a fever pitch. It is it's a wildfire that has been ignited by the Abominator. And to put that in context, of course, much of it was inspired by the stupidity of Jimmy Carter and was exacerbated badly by King George I and King George II. But ultimately, the fires of the flames of this fire were whipped into a frenzy by the Abominator and his continued elevation of Islam and his disassociation of Islam from its wars and terrorism and rapes and the like. And so Islam is a wildfire right now, and there is no putting it out. So I would add that to your iron in the fire, and we're responsible. We not only arm them, we've disrupted the dictatorships that actually prevail in that side of the world, and given those countries over to religious leaders.
Well, even if it's not even that which isn't on fire yet, I know it's going to take a fire pot among sheaves to set it off, you know?
Correct. Correct. Now, I'm going to add a second one to you. I think the Obaminator's complete hatred of Israel and I wish it was abandonment of Israel, but his capitulation to Muslims on Israel is going to be the catalyst for, as you know, the crescendo of World War III. And the Obaminator has put the United States where Europe already was, which is that Israel will absolutely be sacrificed at the altar of better relations with Muslims and better relations with OPEC.
Right. Well, it seems to me that the present Israeli regime isn't helping their own cause, you know, in going after the Shiites, because, you know, they're going to undo the one force that's, you know, sort of blocking for them.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting here that Israel and Saudi Arabia are in complete agreement.
Talk about being in war. Talk about right. War making strange bedfellows. My God.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Israel and Saudi Arabia are in the opposite position to the United States, and they both recognize that America did the world a tremendous disservice when it invaded Iraq, and thereby empowered Iran. And so Saudi Arabia and Israel now are the bulwarks trying to mitigate the damage America did by invading Iraq.
Yeah, so Saudi Arabia is helping a whole lot by dropping, I don't know what that bomb they dropped in Yemen was, but I don't think it was attacking it, like some people were saying. Well, I saw it look like a humongous fuel air bomb or a MOAB, a mother of all bombs. We've seen,
right.
You know, some pretty amazing ordnance being used. What? And in what? A total war scenario that's killing and starving and, you know,
right.
Civilians.
Yeah, when Saudi Arabia decided they wanted to play, and Saudi Arabia doesn't use their military without A, the United States' permission, and B, the United States' urging, because it's our military. That their weapon systems cease to work when they do something that's in opposition to the will of the United States. So the United States made a complete mess of Yemen by bombing the Sunni jihadists who were able to keep the Shia jihadists at bay. The government, just as we've seen in Iraq, the government units are unable to successfully fight the Mujahideen. But there was a Sunni insurgency in Sunni terrorists in Yemen who were able to keep the Shiite Mujahideen at bay. But America killed 4,000 of them in a series of drone attacks. And so the Shiites prevailed, and now the United States is saying, well, we really screwed that up. So what we're going to do is we're going to send a U.S. battle group there. Boy, that'll really quiet things down. And then on top of that, we'll have the Saudis both invade and run and bomb them. When you respond with violence like this, you make a bad situation worse. We screwed this up already, and now we're trying to screw it up even more.
Yeah, we've got a task force of two naval carrier squadrons, one super carrier and one Marines-type, you know, landing craft
right.
carrier, you know, and Harriers and helicopters, and along with all their, you know, other ships along with them, you know, steaming over there.
Right.
And that's just what we need is some head-to-head
yeah.
conflict.
The Muslims, yes, the Shiites and the Sunnis hate each other, but they both hate America more than they hate each other. And all we're doing is making the situation worse. So I see that as a irresolvable conflict. There's no way to work ourselves around it.
Right. It just, it just seems like such sheer foolishness to
yeah.
me. I mean,
yeah, I am absolutely positive.
He's from Libya, which we blew up.
Oh, yeah, I am absolutely positive, Glenn, that the civil war between Sunni and Shia Muslims that is being fought in Iraq and in Syria is irresolvable, that there is no way that that can be stopped, that there is literally no way to undo the damage that is being done there, that there is no political solution, no military solution, no religious solution. There is no solution of any kind. That battle is going to continue to rage until Syria and Iraq and Iran and neighboring Turkey and Jordan are all swallowed up in it.
Right, and until you know Shia Islam is overthrown, I would think.
Correct, but when you talk about the overthrow of Shia Islam, you're talking about the slaughter of now as many as 100 million people.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet, right?
Oh yeah, we're talking about death on an unimaginable scale. And even then, it won't bring the end of those hostilities because just as the Sunni jihadists went from fighting the Soviets with American weapons in Afghanistan, they immediately turned to fight Saddam Hussein's army in Kuwait. And then when America intervened and kept them from doing so, they turned their attentions on America. So the moment that they prevail over Shia Islam, which is a fait accompli, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of deaths, and it's going to play out over the next 10 years with a lot of carnage. But as soon as they complete it, we're not going to have peace. We're not going to have a cessation of the war. They're just all going to turn their weaponry on America and Israel.
Right. Right. And there's your make out of things. Are you aware of a prophecy that speaks of Elam being destroyed? About Persia and Elam, that one.
Yeah, and it's
I alluded to it the other day.
Yeah. There are questions as to where Elam is, but when I speak off the cuff here without my research, because it's hard to remember all the details when you do.
Saudi Arabia and some think it's elsewhere.
Yeah, there's two questions. One is it Saudi Arabia, and or is it part of Jordan? And that's really the question as to where it is. Yahweh was clear that the that the Saudi Arabian refineries, their oil production capability is going to be torched. That as part of the Magog war, Saudi Arabia becomes just one flaming torch. And he's also clear in telling us that Jordan is going to be victimized by the flood of Islamic jihadists that roll into Israel. They're going to tread Jordan underfoot as if it were enemy territory. They're going to plunder and rape their way right through Jordan.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter if Elam, and I remember doing this prophecy, and I came to the conclusion that it really doesn't matter if you define Elam as part of Jordan or Saudi Arabia, because the fate is the same. It's a little different application of it. One is the oil refining and distribution capability is ignited. You know, as we saw Saddam Hussein torch the oil facilities as he was leaving. Well, they're much larger in Saudi Arabia, and there'll be no Red Adair to go into the rescue to cap these things off.
Yeah.
Right. So you're not going to see that in Saudi Arabia. It's just going to be this blaring torch for years. And
can you imagine how much money they're going to owe Al Gore for the carbon taxes for that?
There you go. And the devastation to Jordan, because it's not being torched according to Yahweh, Jordan is just being overrun. And he has lots of allusions to the Muslims flooding through Jordan and in the process leaving the scorched earth. But it's ultimately, as they come through Jordan, they're not going to linger there. because there'll be caves. I mean, no homes to live in, but there'll be caves in Jordan in the hills that surround the Jordan River, up from the just east of the Jordan River. Yahweh was telling many of the Israelites that as these Muslims come and flood into Israel, they ought to go the opposite way because they're not going to linger in Jordan and find some protection in the hills and mountains and caves of Jordan.
So, what a mess. But, I should get going here, but I really feel, I mean, it just, you know, that's what I said is I'm really feeling this viscerally, intuitively, palpably now. I'm very upset and very angry about it. It's like, I just feel like, you know, the inevitability of horror looms before us because of all these things being deliberately done simultaneously.
Yeah, the only difference between where you are at this point and where I am is that while I recognize that over the next 11 years, the world's going to deteriorate to the point where we enter what is really hell on earth during the 7 years that follow, I'm a little reluctant to say that, you know, this summer is going to be riotous. I'm much more comfortable saying that everything you have described is going to continue to be, is going to continue to plague humankind, and it will continue to all devolve and unravel until the world is in chaos, and that is going to occur over the next 18 years, with it being a gradual process with starts and stops between now and 2026, and then by the time we reach then, we're going to begin two world wars, and lots of people are going to die.
I agree with that, of course. Yes, I agree with that. I feel an immediate one.
Yeah.
A problem
yeah.
as well.
And you may be right. I'm not disagreeing with you. This hour by telling us of the three calamities that he sees on our immediate horizon. One is the fact that police are out of control and that people are going to respond and lash back and that police are going to increase their level of control. The second is that our military is killing people worldwide and creating the conditions where the world is about to be engulfed in world war, and that we are arming both sides in many of these conflicts, that the U.S. military is an extraordinarily counterproductive force at this point. The next was that world economics, with the impending collapse of Greece, as well as the collapse that will occur in America as a result of fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, and the manipulation of quantitative easing with the Federal Reserve. To that, we added Islam being enraged, being at a becoming a out of control wildfire. That there is no way to stop. None. It can't be stopped religiously, diplomatically, militarily. And it's a fight to the death between Sunni and Shia Islam. And as soon as the Sunnis prevail over the Shias, they're going to turn against Israel and the United States. From there, we have issue of Israel being abandoned and worse, being thrown under the bus by both Europe and the United States, particularly the Abominator. There are a couple of others, Glenn. One of them is climate change. And I don't mean it from the point of view that the climate's going to change in such a way in the next 11 years they're going to cause irreparable harm to the Earth. I mean that the financial and dictatorial edicts and the one world vision of climate change is going to integrate the world into a command and control structure with very little freedoms and a massive robbery of productive people to make unproductive people ever more dependent. It is one of the major catalysts for control.
Well, yes, with Nestle suggesting the complete privatization and, you know, top-down control of water, you know.
Right. Right.
What else?
But it's not only going to be public control, government control of all resources, rare earth elements, fuel, electricity, water. Everything is going to be heavily controlled by government, and the people are going to be deprived, and their people are going to be controlled. You either capitulate and go along, or you don't get access to these commodities that are going to be the people's assets. So climate change is going to play a huge role.
Public-private partnership, you know,
right.
Like a British
fascism.
Corporation.
Yeah.
Right, fascism.
Right. Fascism.
Same thing we had. Yeah, fascism. The same thing we see right. What's going on with these the smart meters, reflective smart meters for your water.
Right.
People being fined
right.
for taking long
right.
showers, things like that.
Right. I pay between $2,000 and $3,000 a month in fines for wanting to keep my plants alive.
Right.
And water. Yeah. Just between $2,000 and $3,000 a month is my fine for wanting to keep my plants alive. I'm an environmentalist. I don't know if you know that, but I'm an environmentalist. I care about plants. I'm saddened when plants die, and I've come up with the conclusion in my vast environmental studies that plants need water to live.
Well, right, exactly. And, you know, and even if the government disagreed and wanted to, they're completely untenable nature, these fee structures. I mean,
correct.
It's almost like the government can just take from you. It's like this.
And there's such a simple solution to everything. For example, in water, the Babylonians figured it out. The Egyptians figured it out. The Greeks and the Romans figured it out. Where there is the most water, people don't want to live because there's too much disease and too much swamp, and the weather's crappy. And where people want to live, there's too little water. So there's this invention that the Babylonians were the first to deploy. It's called an aqueduct. Yes.
Yeah.
So the global climate change is going to be a big part of it, not because the climate is changing appreciably, but because of the fact it's the manipulative tool that will be deployed. And I think at the root of all of this, the thing that makes all of these things possible is political correctness and the indoctrination rather than education of generations of people in Europe and the United States to the point they've been dumbed down, that they can't exercise good judgment.
And cowardly.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention that. Now, for someone to do what you're doing and what I'm doing, we're a shrill voice. We're called hate mongers. We're called radical extremists. The truth has become so radically different than the lie. It's very difficult for people to have the courage to voice it.